Westminster Confession, chapter 5 and paragraph 1. Chapter 5 and paragraph 1. God, the creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge, and the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. So here we look at the completeness of God's providence, the completeness of God's providence. You see how this fits in with the overall layout of the Confession of Faith, that it begins with Scripture, because Scripture is the Word of God, and we can't get anything right unless God speaks to us. And then, from the doctrine of Scripture, we have God and the Holy Trinity. The doctrine of God, the God who is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And then we have the decrees of God, what God has planned from all eternity, which includes everything that comes to pass. And then the execution of his decrees in the works of creation in chapter 4, and providence here in chapter 5. And of course the catechisms follow the same route, the same path and logical development. So then, God's providence. What God does with his creation. He made it all. What does he do with it? And God's providence is telling us how God works out his decrees, having created what he does with that which he has created. So there is some overlap in this chapter with what we've seen on God's decrees, because God's providence is the outworking of God's decree in history. First of all, God upholds all things. God, the creator of all things, doth uphold all his creatures. He upholds all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. By him all things consist, Colossians 1, verse 17. He made all, and he causes all to continue in existence for the entire period of their existence. Things only exist for as long as God has keeps them in existence. Angels do not cease to exist. Men do not cease to exist because God has determined that it shall be so. Things change form according to God's providence, the outworking of his decree. Nothing is just there. There's nothing that's just there and remains there without God as the sustainer and upholder of it. Secondly, God knows, God governs all that his creatures, all that happens to or is done by his creatures. God governs all that happens to or is done by his creatures. So nothing happens to anything that God has created, and nothing is done by anything that God has created outside of the government and plan of God. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34 and 35. Daniel 4, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, And I praised and honoured him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? So Nebuchadnezzar learned painfully that God is in control, governing all things. Psalm 135 and verse 6. Psalm 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. So there God determining, giving life, breath to all things, determining the bounds of their habitation, in him we live and move and have our being. The Confession of Faith also mentions Job chapters 38 to 41. We'll not read them just now, but we will be reading them in our systematic reading in the morning services, where the Lord answers Job and his friends and shows that he is governing all things. Another verse which is relevant, Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? So there is no chance, no luck. There is God. As nothing is just there, so nothing just happens. Nothing is just there without the plan, without the upholding of God, so nothing happens without the decree and plan of God. So nothing is just there and nothing just happens. Thirdly, there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. The Confession of Faith goes on to say, from the greatest even to the least, and gives us Matthew 10 and verse 29. Matthew 10, verse 29. Matthew 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What an encouragement to us that the Lord governs even the small things as well as the big things. And we need not be afraid to bring small things to God. It honours God to acknowledge his government over the small things as well as the big things, so that we can bring small things to God in our private praying. We need not think that things that trouble us that are small are too small to bring to God. We acknowledge God as governor of the great things and the small things. Everything comes about in his purpose. Fourthly, his most wise and holy providence, a most wise and holy providence, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence. Various texts given, Proverbs 15 and verse 3. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That's telling us of the knowledge of the Lord. And then Psalm 104, verse 24. Psalm 104, verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So there, the wisdom of God displayed in providence. And the other verse teaching us that the Lord knows everything and therefore is in a position to do what is exactly right and wise. Psalm 145 and verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. So the Lord is wise in all his providence. He always knows what is best, what glorifies his name, what does good to his people. How hard it is to always acknowledge this, that the Lord is doing what is best. And yet, how often we struggle because we think we know what is best. We think we know better. That's our pride. But so difficult to always acknowledge that the Lord is doing what is wise. Thou art good and thou doest good. Teach me thy statutes. He does what is holy. By definition, all that God does is holy. Holiness begins with God. What God purposes and does and approves is what is holy. And all that God does is holy. It's in accordance with his holy character, even in his ordering of the sin of angels and men. God himself is holy. Fifthly, infallible foreknowledge. You see that the confession goes on to say, according to his infallible foreknowledge. God knows what he is doing. God knows what he is doing. Acts 15 and verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Notice there, known unto God are all his works. It's not that foreknowledge is foreknowledge of something that he hasn't planned, as if God knows the future but hasn't planned it. That's something that the Bible knows absolutely nothing of. God knows what will happen because he has planned what will happen. They're his works, his providence. He knows everything that will come to pass because he has foreordained it. Psalm 94 and verse 8 to 11. Understand ye brutish among the people, ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. God knows everything in the present as well as in the future. He controls all according to his eternal and unchangeable plan. He doesn't have to revisit the plan. We make plans and then something comes to light that we hadn't taken account of and we have to replan. That's because we're fallible and finite. But God isn't like that. He never has to go back to the drawing board, as it were. He never has to start again, or he never has to tweak or tinker with the plan. Nothing takes God by surprise, as if, oh, well, the plan has to be modified. That's never the case with God. It is his plan, and he has ordained it from the beginning to the end, everything that comes to pass. Sixthly, according to his own will. It says, and the free and immutable counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11 speaks of God working all things after the counsel of his own will. Psalm 33, verse 10 to 11. Psalm 33, verse 10 to 11. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. He is under no external constraint. In eternity, God planned all things when there was only God. No one was the counselor of God. There was no consultation. God decreed all from eternity. And seventhly, for his own glory, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. Various texts, Isaiah 63 and verse 14. Isaiah 63 and verse 14. As a beast goeth down into the valley, so the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. There, his dealings with his people are for his own glory. Ephesians 3 and verse 10. Ephesians 3 and verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There we're being told that God shows his wisdom to the angelic world by means of the church. What a calling the church has. God displays his wisdom to the angels by the church. He shows the angels how wise he is by means of the church, by the way he redeems sinners and applies redemption and forms his people as his church. The way he does it, it shows how wise he is. Romans 9 and verse 17. Romans 9 and verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. There the Lord is saying that Pharaoh was raised up in all his hardness of heart against the Lord, that the Lord might show his power in the wonders that he performed and the judgment that he brought upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Genesis 45 and verse 7. Genesis 45 and verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. No doubt this is included to show how this works out in events in time, that God, in his wisdom, Joseph's enslavement seemed nothing but disaster, but it was part of the glorious plan of God that God should show his glory in the deliverance of his people by means of Joseph. In Psalm 145 and verse 7, Psalm 145 and verse 7, they shall utter abundantly the memory, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. There the Lord's works show his goodness and his righteousness and his mercy. This is true. God is glorified in both the outworking of providence and the ultimate ends of that providence. God displays his attributes throughout history and will, at the end, display his attributes in the eternal state of his creatures. So God manifests his attributes throughout history in his mercy and his judgments, in his dealings with men in this world, and in the eternal state he will display his attributes in the vessels of wrath and the vessels of mercy. So those attributes displayed throughout history will reach their final and eternal display in the glory of the redeemed in heaven and in the judgment of the wicked in hell. He will display the power of his justice in the vessels of wrath, and he will display the riches of his mercy on the vessels of mercy. It only remains to add that although God will glorify all his attributes forever in his creatures, in relation to a particular creature, the attributes displayed in time are not restricted to those attributes which will be displayed in that individual in eternity. So the non-elect angels displayed God's glory in their creation. They reflected his holiness in their created character before they fell, and his goodness in their creation, and yet, having decreed that they would fall, he will display his justice and wrath in their eternal state. With respect to our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Father displayed his justice and wrath at the cross when the Lord Jesus was bearing the wrath of God. As well as displaying his love to his people, he was displaying his wrath and his justice in the punishment of their sins in the Lord Jesus Christ, the substitute. But the Lord Jesus had a joy set before him, and so in the eternal state there will be uninterrupted fellowship with the Father. In respect of non-elect men, Psalm 145 verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." It is true, that's true, even of reprobate men in this world. God shows his goodness and his mercy in them, even though in the world to come they will only know the power of his wrath and the glory of his justice. So that God manifests all his attributes throughout history and then eternally, forever, in the world to come. Even though with respect to an individual being, the attributes displayed in this world may include attributes that are not displayed in them in the world to come. But God displays all his attributes in providence and in the final goal of that providence, in vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. God is glorious, and he will be shown to be glorious in all his works, even forevermore. And the people of God rejoice in that and say, Amen, so let it be.